Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, party people. It's me, Phoebe Lynn Robinson, and I'm back in your feed to make a do-do-do-do announcement. Okay, so unless you've been living under a rock, you know that season 2 of the Two Dope Queens HBO specials are out now, so watch them. Anyway, to celebrate, we'll be sharing our favorite all-time podcast episodes right here for the next month. It's a great place to start as a new listener to the show, or if you just want to relive some of that hilarious Black girl magic. And you know what else? There's more great shows coming your way from WNYC Studios, starting with yours truly and the return of so many white guys on Tuesday, March 19th. That's right. You heard it here. We're back, baby. So set your clocks. Mark your Sierra Club calendars for March 19th because this season is going to be the best. Make sure you don't miss it. Subscribe to So Many White Guys wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. Oh, now listen to this wonderful birthday episode of Teed Up Queens with Jon Stewart. It's one of the most memorable shows that Jessica and I have ever done. Hope you love it as much as I do. YQY.
Previously on Two Dope Queens.
Hey, Michaels, give me my picture frame.
Have you tried a vibrator yet?
Have you done Ain?
No, it's on my list.
Is it number one?
No, it's like number 1 million. Edges are a social construct.
Michael Fassbender's peen.
You shut up. I want peen.
I heard a white man call another white man the N-word.
Sorry, I burped.
YQY.
Stop saying YQY.
We're back, bitches. It's the first episode of season 2 of Two Dope Queens.
Yo, it's been too long. Actually, we know it hasn't been that long, but we really, really, really miss doing the show. You know?
Yeah, totally. Hey, by the way, I'm Phoebe Robinson.
And I'm Jessica Williams.
We are so excited to bring you brand new episodes of our hot, tight little podcast.
Ew.
And I gotta say, that was sexy. And also, these are some of our best shows yet. And today's show, well, it's extra special. Like, super special. Like, the most extra super special. Jess, do you have any guesses why? Why?
Is it because it was my birthday show?
Yes, it was such an amazing night.
Don't you freaking deter me. It really was amazing.
Plus, there was a ton of silly string, which I accidentally sprayed into a girl's face while pretending to jerk off on stage. Okay, you know what? Let's just get to the episode, all right?
Yeah. And oh, you did it right in her face. You didn't ask her for permission. It was unexpected.
For the people,
you're a part of the fucking patriarchy now. You know that, right?
For the people listening at home, I was demonstrating coming.
Like,
by
directly into the audience, FYI.
Right.
And there was just, like, this beautiful...
Beautiful, just gorgeous curls, like Sex and the City season 2. Like,
so
just great.
Like,
and
like, not a perm, like...
Yes, and I ejaculated silly string directly into her face.
And
so
not only did the silly string not come out, it splattered. And the woman, she was both surprised and delighted.
Yeah.
She and was a little bit disappointed, right, that it happened.
She's like a vet. She's like, I've been here before.
Yeah.
This is my third tour. I get it.
Not the venue I expected to have that happen again in, but...
Yes. I will buy you a drink later. That one,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's for you.
That's what
no,
guys
for,
do,
really.
Right? You buy a drink
really.
After you... They should.
should. I've never had happen to me, but you should buy a woman a drink if you jizz in her face. I'm just saying. I just think...
like, at minimum, and hopefully one came before the other.
Right.
I don't know. What's up?
Happy almost birthday, Jess.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited. This show tonight is going to be unbelievable. We got some surprises for y'all, including a couple that I don't know about that Phoebe did with WNYC. So...
I wore Spanx for this.
What? You didn't tell me. You look so good. Your shirt is so savage. I love it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm voting for dad bod. Who's single? Just so ill-informed. But I think dad bod 16 is like actually a great platform.
Yeah. And why is it a good... What is the platform? What does it stand for?
It's just like, you know, like hot dudes past their prime. But like they have like a good heart. Like that's it.
I forgot you like love older dudes.
I do want an older gentleman. That's where I'm at in life.
You were telling me earlier you had to like drag somebody today. Was it an older dude?
It was an older dude. So I am single, as I've made that clear many times.
You definitely single.
And so I did a show on Tuesday, stand-up show, and I met this, it went well, everyone like had a great set, and like I was hanging out with some of the comics afterwards, and this guy like remembered something from my set, so he asked me about it, and he's like, oh, I live in, he's like nice at this point of the story.
I hate it.
He's a piece of shit. He asked you a question.
Fucking go. Die.
I love when girls talk like, I can't believe it. They like swallow their words.
That's how some girls do.
That's just bullshit.
That's like how they talk in California. Like, right? I miss it all the time.
And so we like hit it off. We like had a drink. I had a glass of rosé. Thank you. That's my drink of choice. Cheers to you guys.
Choice.
Cheers. And so, this guy and I, we hit it off. He's 42. And I was like, sick. Right? I was like, super sick. That is so lit. Great. And so I don't throw up yet.
You know what it is? Y'all just encourage this behavior. No one has to fucking hear about it.
Okay. And so we like, he's like a community organizer, aww, like a visual artist.
That's amazing.
Is really cool. Uh-huh. He had like a man bun. I'm like, this is an adventure I've never been on.
Yeah.
Very cool. Uh-huh. And so we exchanged numbers, and then he like friended me on Facebook, and then we like started chatting, and everything was nice. And he was like, oh, I didn't know Two Dope Queens was your podcast. I just discovered it. I love it. I've been listening to it.
And I mean, it's like fine.
Yeah. I mean, we're the best. We are
the best. We're literally the Hamilton of Brooklyn.
Yes. And so we had been talking, and then today I like hit him up, and I was telling her girlfriend about this. She's like, you should just ask him out, he's been talking to you, like,
yeah, he's like,
and I've never asked out a gentleman before, so I was like, this is hashtag very nerve-wracking. I can't even say it, it's so scary.
Hashtag, you're like scared.
Really
what
scared.
What happened? What'd you say?
So I was like, we talked about our need of mutual self-care, like that was earlier.
Oh my God, dude. Okay, but also I guess the rule is like, there's no awes about macking. Like, you can't shit on somebody's flirt text.
You have to like...
Because it's like all trash.
Right, it literally is terrible until you're in a relationship you're like not garbage.
You're like, so, you know, you're like, I farted at home thinking of you. Like, that's real.
Right.
Okay, so you guys like, were talking about self-care. Right.
And I was like, I was like, want a self-care with me this weekend? Rosé.
That's beautiful. And then what did he say?
And so he was like, well, that's certainly a compelling invitation if I've ever heard one.
Boy,
winky face.
Too many words. Too many words. Too
Not
many
done.
Words.
Not done.
Too many words.
And then he continues and goes, I guess this is the part where I must officially declare I'm actually in a relationship. And then he finishes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So he finishes and he goes, hashtag, hope it's not awkward. Hope it's not an awkward thing because I think you are awesome and really enjoyed meeting you. So then I go, not awkward, but like dumb, because why would you take my number? Makes no sense.
Drag him. Literally drag
right.
him to hell.
And I was like, anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast. So then he goes.
And then, I don't give a fuck about what he says.
I know. And he goes, yeah, I get that. My apologies. But on the other hand...
There is no other hand.
I know.
The other hand is... Hey.
And so he goes, well, on the other hand, I really like getting to know fierce, smart, talented...
Why? Okay.
Yeah. Wait,
okay.
Let me finish this.
Dude, I'm so fucking over this, dude.
Right.
Okay,
all right.
Going.
Hilarious people, like, and well, God. You are one of them. So I write back, and this is where I like read him in filth. He never wrote me back.
Read him.
So I was like, duh, yeah, I know I'm all these things. Which is why I'm out in these streets getting attention from dudes. You have a girlfriend. This was so disrespectful of you to pull some BS like this. We're too old for this nonsense. You know better. And you ought to do better by her and by me. If you truly believe I'm all these dope things and you wouldn't have wasted my time, don't do trifling and raggedy ass stuff like this again. Your girlfriend doesn't deserve a guy going around getting random women's number. Enjoy the rest of Two Dope Queens, though. It gets funnier and funnier by the end of the season.
Phoebe.
Always be closing.
Phoebe.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross, motherfucker.
Phoebe, after that, he was like this. Drag him.
He's so terrible. But why do guys do this?
It's such a waste of time. That's my, like, when I go to colleges and guys are like, "What? How would I talk to women?" Don't fucking baby dick. Don't baby dick. And don't fucking waste people's goddamn time.
Yes.
So many people are out there wasting time. He wasted your time. You're never going to get that time back.
I know.
At the end of your life, when you replay everything... You dragging him is going to be what you remember for like half a second. Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was my, that's my adventure in dating right now.
Man.
That sucks. Have you had any shitty dudes harass you lately or
harass
body?
Lately? I don't know. Sometimes I like meet dudes and they don't, like I met this dude at a bar and he was just like, he was with his friends and he was like, oh, fuck, you're on The Daily Show.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah. And then it was just silent. Like, there was no,
oh,
pretty good. Or, oh, no, you know.
Right.
And then finally he was like, oh, cool, you're pretty good. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. He was like, I hate your boss, though. And I was like,
what?
He was like, yeah, I hate your boss. And it's like, even if you do.
But which one?
No.
I'm like,
well, he hated, he was telling me, he went out of his way to tell me that he hated Trevor. And for me, I was like, don't, even if you feel that way, the fucking audacity of you to tell me that. And like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah, you're going to like report back to Trevor,
yeah,
and be like, BT Dubs, Word on the street from one dude.
There's this Jabron.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like it's sort of this like entitlement sometimes.
Totally.
So I had to like kind of read him a little bit. And I was just like, what if I like came to your work and told you like I didn't like the way you fucking... boss was saying shit to you, you know, and he was like, whoa, well, calm down, you know, calm down. You don't have to get like
ew.
All aggressive. But that's the thing too, is I feel like sometimes people have a problem with female anger. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not even anger. You're just like standing up for yourself and being like a citizen of this planet.
Yeah. Like
that's it.
I'm literally being a human being.
Right. Like,
you
pay your taxes. Like,
yeah.
You know what you want from Starbucks before you get in line. Yeah. Like, you are a good person.
Literally. Like,
you're a good person.
I try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I did promo Two Dope Queens quite a bit, so I felt good. I felt
it
good about
like
that.
Seems like we definitely got a follower.
Yeah.
Like, we got a new listener, which is really, at the end of the day, what's most important. You want to get it started?
Yeah, let's do it. Are you guys ready for more show?
You guys, this show is going to be so like Hamilton. You'll be like, Hamilton what?
You got to stop saying that.
No, they need to know. And we need to get flagged by somebody from Hamilton so we can get Hamilton tickets.
Oh, that's true.
I'm out here in these streets trying to get us tickets.
The fact that we haven't got like that Lin-Manuel like didn't like G-chat us about it is like...
We just gotta start saying crazy shit about Hamilton. Like, we need to get in the newspaper about Hamilton.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. We'll figure it out. We're gonna get to Hamilton one day.
Have any of you been to Hamilton?
Have you heard of it? You guys heard of this?
Okay,
play? So
you guys didn't think to invite us. Cool. That's great. It's fine. All right, let's keep this show. Let's keep this show moving right along.
Let's do it.
So the next act we're going to bring up, he's very funny. You may have seen him recently on Colbert at the conventions. He's also has his own show called The Eric Andre Show.
Please give it up for Eric Andre!
Sorry, yes. NRG, fuck. Holy shit. That was, bullshitting back there. I'm not prepared. I'm high as hell. Where my weed smokers at? Make some fucking noise. Because I'm a narc. Book them. Bring them in, boys. You're under arrest. You ever smoke a big-ass joint and you just blow it right into a baby's face? Like, we got to make this kid cool, daddy-o. Grab the Miles Davis records and the fucking Kerouac books. Eisenhower's a drag. I'm on the road with Dean Moriarty. I like LSD is my favorite drug. I drop acid and I jerk off to anime all the time. I jerk off to Sailor Moon. I don't care. Gonna judge me? We're about to get slam poetry up here. Spinning around, hearing the sounds. Up, up, down, down, left, right, be a select start. If life gives you gators, make Gatorade. Bukkake. I am a feminist. I believe in equal rights for both genders. Thank you. When someone says something ridiculous, I don't always go like this. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, right. I also watch reverse role bukkake, where 6 to 10 women squirt on a Japanese businessman's face. I'm progressive. I also want to come up with a character called Andrew Nice Clay, who's just like Andrew Dice Clay, but he's a feminist. He's like, oh, I'm respecting my wife like an intellectual equal over here. Oh! There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She didn't have any kids because abortion is a personal choice, not a state matter. Gloria Steinem's my fucking hero over here. Ow! Old Mother Hubbard went to a cupboard to fetch her appointment for a yearly mammogram. That's twice a year over 70 ladies hour. I should have stopped at the fucking whatever. I just like doing that cadence. I went to Nepal. I went to a Buddhist monastery in Kathmandu. And I got diarrhea right away. And then I'm watching CNN. I'm watching Anthony Bourdain. Does Anthony Bourdain just shit Yoo-hoo year fucking round? There's no way. There's no fucking way. This guy's eating street meat off the floor of the Congo like he's a hyena, and he's not going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Anthony Bourdain's asshole must look like a Guar video. It's just like a fucking trauma film. It says a giant caterpillar with teeth spewing molten hot lava. There's no way that guy's not in the bathroom every 5 seconds. I'm eating at a 5-star restaurant in Nepal and I got fucking water poop. And he's just all fucking casual. This is me in here. Anthony Bourdain's plumbers must fucking hate him. They're just like, going to Bourdain's again. Also, Mountain Dew commercials in, so Nepal is right above India, so there's like tons of Indian television. I was watching tons of Indian television in Nepal, and Mountain Dew commercials in India are the most self-important commercials. Like Mountain Dew commercials in America are like, grab a babe, a beer, and a dew, dude, cowabunga, fucking legalized bath salt, bro, woo, 420, woo, grab a dew, bro. They're like written by Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles, the fucking, but the, but the Mountain Dew commercials in India are super, it's like, hey, roll up your sleeves and get to work. We got Mountain Dew to drink. It's like a Chris Christie ad campaign or something. It's like, hey, the bridges are falling apart. There's chaos in the tunnels. Grab some Mountain Dew. We got a crisis on our hands. And so I went to this like meditation retreat at this Buddhist monastery, and there was like this very international group of students there, and I was hanging out with these Israeli guys. I'm a Jew, but American Jews and Israelis couldn't be more like American Jews use comedy to cope with tragedy, constantly self-deprecating and finding comedy and everything. Israelis are the most tough as shit, humorless. Like Israelis never joke around. Once in a while, you'll get an Israeli guy to tell a joke, and it'll be a joke that was translated from Hebrew like 5,000 years ago, and it's just the most spine-shattering. They're just like, yes, they say having a wife is like putting a nail in a cow's brain. You're like, Jesus Christ, you guys got Seinfeld over there? What the fuck is going on? You guys watch The Simpsons? I'm bluish. I'm black and Jewish, like Drake and Jesus. And thank you. I'll take it. I'll take it. My dad looks like Arthur Ashe and my mom looks like Howard Stern. And that is why I look like Macy Gray. I try to walk away and I stumble. I always fuck with people on the subway. Where do I know you from? Macy Gray. I'm Macy. They're like, yeah, that's it. Right. My dad is from Haiti. My dad's Haitian. Sak passe, naboule. Piti piti. That means nothing. I just said a bunch of gibberish. My dad's from Haiti, and he's 200 years old, and he's deaf in one ear, and he's totally technologically illiterate, and I swear to God, he just found out what Google is, like, a few weeks ago, and he called me up, he goes, uh-oh, now they have Google? Woo! You type one word in Google, bloop, bloop, 1 million words comes up. Under the sea. I can't do my dad's voice. Oh, that was embarrassing. I can't do my dad's voice. I'll leave you with this. I went and saw Book of Mormon. Did anybody see Book of Mormon? It's great, right? The one thing they didn't talk about, though, this is the most fascinating part of Mormon culture. Mormon teenagers do this thing called soaking. Do you know what that is? They put their fucking... So you can't have premarital sex, right, if you're Christian or Mormon, because God will fucking pop a blood vessel in his brain. So Mormon teenagers do this thing called soaking, where they take their boner and they put it in their girlfriend's vagina, but they don't thrust back and forth. They just stand there, statue stiff. And they think, like, that's a loophole, or, like, God wants it. Like, God has, like, predator vision, and he can only sense heat. So they just sit there with their penis in their girlfriend's vagina, like a statue. And as long as there's no thrusting, God's cool with it. What kind of fucking backwoods, schizophrenic, Ted Kaczynski version of God do you have in your head where soaking is cool, but thrusting back and forth is where God's drawing the line? I hope you're not thrusting back and forth down there. No. Fuck that shit. Let your dick soak. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Let that dick marinate, playboy. God's got a bunch of, like, deer ticks crawling in and out of his beard. He's in a greasy bathrobe, just fingering a bowling ball. Did I say thrusting? You're going to hell! It's cuckoo banana loopholes in religion, right? There's, like, you know, there's Catholic girls that only do anal sex. You know about this, too? Some of them are here tonight. There's Catholic women that are saving their hymen for their honeymoon, but up until then, bottomless fucking anal. Who is God? Like the creepy black dude at the end of Requiem for a Dream? He's just like, ass to ass, ass to ass. Stick it in a poop chute, my man. You're on the fast track to heaven with all that bottomless anal you got going on down here. All my impressions sound like Foghorn Leghorn. What in the? I say, what in the? Thank you guys so much. I love you. Good night.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/dopequeens today to get 10% off your first month.
Violent police raids on student protest encampments play out against the backdrop of a crucial presidential election.
Could this be 1968 all over again?
If every election is just like 1968, then no election is like 1968. Maybe this election is like 2024.
Plus, what Israelis are seeing on TV on this week's On the Media from WNYC. Find On the Media wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving.
You know, the stage is, we have more show.
Yeah.
But I feel like the stage is, like, kind of messy, so maybe we should just, like...
kind of get somebody to come clean
it
up.
Yeah, can someone, like, come out and clean this up? Because this
can
is kind of...
Can somebody come check out the stage?
Let's just,
thank you.
The best.
Oh.
The best.
Come on, dude.
The best.
Nope. All right.
Ah, oh, you.
Ah, you.
I wore this shirt just for you, John.
That's nice. I wore this extra layer of fat just for you. It's what I do.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for coming all the way from New Jersey.
I'm delighted. You know, so I did come up from Jersey. You know, I've been out of the business for about almost a year now. And watching Jessica and always just... Jessica was the only person that I've ever hired on The Daily Show off of 5 seconds of videotape.
Wow.
I saw 5 seconds of videotape. And I went... That's special. And then we called and we thought we would love to have Jessica come work. And they said, well, she's at biology class right now. And I was like, say that again. She was in college at the time. And so we had to get her to give up her family and diploma.
Well, believe it or not, my mom was like... Girl, you better go on ahead and go to New York.
You never see performers with such power within. Oh. And your ability to bring that out in such a disarming and charming and beautiful way, I've always admired.
Oh, man. Thank you.
And you too. But I will say this.
What?
I will say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I thought I was getting back in show business. Where the fuck am I? I'm like, I'm going to be back in show business.
Welcome to Gowanus.
And then I thought, like, oh, this is one of those prank shows where, like, they pretend that they've got a dead body in a trunk and I have to help them dump it in the Gowanus.
Welcome to Gowanus. This is Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I know.
See, this is...
Have you been to Brooklyn before in all your time here in New York City?
Let me tell you something about Brooklyn. So I've been, my grandmother and grandfather, Max and Ray, lived above a candy store on 8th Street and Avenue O, Bensonhurst. And so I have been to Brooklyn many times. We were the original people, the little small goitery Jewish people that made Key Foods what it is today. We do.
Yeah, thank God. That's amazing. Thank you.
Key thank Foods, you. Motherfucker.
Thank you.
Key Foods in the motherfucking house.
It's here.
That's where my grandmother's catchphrase came from. Was that Avenue O? Her catchphrase was, "Don't step in this shit, honey."
Wow, she sounds really beautiful.
She's really. She was. They were tiny people. Tiny, angry. My grandfather Max drove a cab, and my grandmother Ray, her job was disappointment in Max.
Beautiful.
Which she did beautifully. I mean, she worked 8 to 10 hours a day. But it was, yeah, man.
It's really beautiful.
That was our Brooklyn loud side, and then my from Washington Heights. Was our communist side. So we had the communists, the quiet communists in Washington Heights, and then the loud Jews from Brooklyn, and that's how you get this.
Yeah, yeah. That's a cool mixture.
I have a question for you. So I
Sagittarius.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
That wasn't bad.
So you've listened to some of the episodes.
I consider myself certainly a dope.
Yes.
Well, yeah, naturally.
Is that the
Yeah, that's fine.
Term?
I'll allow it. Will you allow it?
Yeah, I will allow
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I consider myself a dope. I know a lot about
my
you.
Yes.
Ooh, baby.
It's all about sharing.
I'm in heaven right now. So
you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
So you might know that I'm currently on the market for an older gentleman. And I was just as about to throw up. I was wondering if you had any tips as to how I should go about procuring one.
No question.
conjuring one.
Don't hug him too tight. It's like, what is to you a youthful and vivacious and beautiful woman, an expression of joy and love,
right,
is to them a truly dangerous and tenuous situation. And when you're dealing with generally the people that you are going to be embracing at this time have been drinking Lactaid for 15 to 25 years. So the calcium levels are really dangerously low. Now, on the plus side, okay, you can pick up a 5 foot, 8 inch, 9 inch person like they're a bird. So when you want love, and this is what, and I say this, and Jessica knows this, I say this because I'm here to help. I'm a teacher. You don't want to embrace, mm-hmm, because of obviously the medical bills and situations. Hold your finger out.
Like this?
And then usually an older Jewish man will climb on right onto here. And then what you can do is, if you want, and it, yeah, depends on what you want to do.
Okay.
Tell me where you'd want to go. Tell me what's a wonderful thing to do.
Take it easy. Where you want to go.
Yeah.
You don't want to, unleash,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. By the way, in this genre, that, yes, ain't happening either. So
I would maybe like want to go to the cloisters, like on a nice,
can I tell you something?
Good. That's, yes, a good.
An old Jew would love that.
Yeah.
I grew up, where I first lived was, mm-hmm, very near the cloisters.
Okay.
And we are drawn to that. I don't know if there is a beacon there, some kind of bagel signal that goes up in the cloisters. But you will find older Jewish men,
okay,
who truly think that's fucking fascinating and would be like, the cloisters. I'll meet you on Dyckman Street at 1. We'll go. There's beautiful artwork there. People don't know. And we'll have a nosh. You'll take me home at 4. 2 hour nap. We'll get up. 1 cup vanilla ice cream. And then we'll watch Shoah. It's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's great.
It'll work. So bring it.
Oh my God. I can't with you.
Come on, bring it. More questions.
I don't think we have any more questions.
What
advice? We've been getting a lot of advice. I'm turning 27 in a couple of days.
I find that so hard.
Do you remember that year being 27, or was it all like a drug-filled blur at that time?
I can give you a hint of my success at 27. I lived in a room with another gentleman on Grand Street. I had yet to, what's the word they call?
Make it?
Earn money.
Oh.
So I was, at the time, I was the day bartender at Panchito's on McDougal Street. They like to drink and eat shitty food. The day bartender at a Mexican restaurant is generally the worst job, because no one comes there during the day, so you are basically the prep man for the night bartender at a Mexican restaurant who will make money. So I would leave there with just nachos to go, and I'd go over to the comedy cellar where they would pay you in hummus. And then I would go home, and the guy I lived with at the time was an alcoholic and used to throw bottles of alcohol in. We were in a room. So the room was this size, and there was a little loft, and I lived in the little loft, which, by the way, convincing young ladies,
yeah,
at the time that's a romantic balcony. A loft with a roommate is, I think, the purest form of contraception. And I was 27 years old, so our experiences, I have nothing to offer you.
Wait, were you doing stand-up at the time or no?
I was doing stand-up, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was, and the market had decided at that time, yeah, that was my worth. Yeah. And so it was, yeah, I'd been in the city. I got to the city like 86, 87. That was probably, I turned 27, Brian, 90. I'm 60. What is 60? What's 62 plus 27 is 89. So 89.
Million.
So 89. And then that was the year. That was the year that I started, that I quit bartending and started stand up full time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have any advice for, like, I'm a little nervous because I'm in my late twants now, as we say.
That's great. I'm 31. I've been guiding you. You don't listen to me.
So do you have any advice, like, late twants or early 30s?
You know, I do, for normal late 20s and early 30s, I do. But you don't seem to understand. You don't seem to grasp who you are and what you are. So and which, by the way, is beautiful about you, and which is what I love, and which is what I love.
Dude,
but to give you advice is basically like, here's the advice that's going to be, is like, just try not to get hit by pokeballs, because you're a fucking like, you're
I be gaming.
You're gaming. Like, it's, my advice to you is always the same as it's always been, which is know yourself and be who you are, because who you are is so fucking wonderful. And so beautiful that you just do your thing that, you know.
Thank you. This is like, everybody give it up for Jon Stewart.
The archives at Carnegie Hall hold treasures from our cultural history. In the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk, we use these items as touchstones to explore how the past shaped the world we live in today. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and I'll be joined by historians, performers, cultural critics, and others to look back at the iconic venue's legendary and sometimes quirky history. If This Hall Could Talk, from Carnegie Hall and distributed by WQXR. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Great show tonight. I think you guys would agree. Yes. Our next guest is
her.
She's amazing. She's
obsessed.
Currently a writer on Transparent. Yeah. She was the head writer of Inside Amy Schumer.
No braggies.
She has a book out now called You'll Grow Out of It. You
she's
guys
so
know.
Funny.
Yeah.
Give it up for Jesse Clark.
LA.
I moved to LA.
So we
did.
But I listen to your podcast in the car all the time.
Yay!
Yes, I do. I don't understand why you're single. How is this continuing?
I mean, I was in a relish, and then I
a shipsies. Yeah,
a shipsies, and then I broke up with my ex last year. So I've been, you know, sure.
And also,
yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of trash out there.
There's so much trash. Yeah. It is a full sanitation strike out there. Like when they strike, and you're like,
so
there can't
trash.
Possibly be higher garbage bag mountains. And then you're like, oh, they're filled with like every guy I dubbed.
It's like right in like this Whole Foods around the corner where it's like, oh, there's lots of trash there.
Yeah, it's all of the hot Indian food that's left over at the end of day.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's all the basmati rice nobody ate.
So what's like one of your worst fuckboy situations?
Oh, God. I mean, there was a guy that I like had what I was trying to have a one night stand. Do you ever try to have a one night stand? I'd never had one, and I was like, let's try and cross that off. And then and like we had like sexy sex, and I waltzed out of there, and I was like, spike the ball. And then he started, he's like, hey, like more, even though we lived in different cities. And then he convinced, I don't know, I got sucked in. Like my friend calls it like Shelter Island of Dick or whatever. And then he wanted to have, he was like, but we didn't know each other that well. And then he like came to visit me, and we were like, I gotta have sex. I know, it's so sad. And then he was like, can we have sex without a condom? And I know, it's very, the more you know right now, very like shooting star.
Wow.
And I was so like sucked into, the shameful part of it is that I was like, my thought process was, because I grew up in the 80s, I was like very pro condom. Uh-huh. I was like, I put a condom on just like going to bed alone at night, just in case. Just in case there's full-blown AIDS that's going to come in my window. And like, I'm terrified of AIDS. And so I was such a good girl. And then, but my stupid thought, I like this guy. And my thought process was, well, clearly the only reason this single guy who I've known for like 2 weeks is asking me to have sex with a condom is because he's in love with me and knows that we're going to be together forever and he's never going to see me.
We all have journeys. We all have journeys.
It's a journey. Yeah. Okay. It's a journey.
Different time.
So did you actually went through it?
I went through with it. Whew. And then...
How was it? Was it weird?
Was it good?
Was it weird? Was it good?
Was it good? A, B, and C, you guys. All of the above. And then, yeah, and then after that, he was like, yeah, I'm very busy. And it just went on and on. Like 30 years later, he was like, I just was sucked into it. And then one day I was like, what if we just tried, like just dating each other? And he was like, I am not very interested in that. He did the thing where he basically was like, I would like to keep dating you, but very much also want to date and fuck other people.
Wow.
But like, really want to keep dating you. But also the other people and the others and the other fuckings. And yeah. And I was like, I have to think about it. And I like texted all my friends. And I was like, what do I do? And yeah, they were all just like, get rid immediately.
Yeah.
So I got out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sucks.
Run along. Yeah, it sucks. It's so hard. And I feel like you go into a trance.
But
I don't
you won,
know.
Though. Yeah, like, you won an Emmy, like...
Yeah, I got...
You won.
You, like,
you fucking
just wrote
won.
A fucking book.
I will say this. So, yeah, last year, we won an Emmy for Inside Amy Schumer, which was, like, my... Thank you. We were so blown away by it. We were not expecting it. We are just, like, little, like, garbage animal writers who, like... We're so used to sitting and, like... We were like, are we allowed to order a large Hale and Hearty soup today? And, like, that was the level of expectation we had for our lives. Is like, maybe mediums. Maybe just mediums and smalls. And then we go to the Emmys. But it's tomato orzo. Oh, I don't know.
That's the
best
one.
The chicken tomato orzo.
The chicken meatball one I love, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. So we go to the Emmys. I think they're all very familiar with Hale and Hearty's menu. Because they have their everyday soups. And I'm doing, like, a full live commercial. But anyway, so we're at the Emmys, and we're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're here. And then we win. And I go up on stage, I'm like shaking like a leaf because I'm like seeing through the other side of the TV, you know, where you're like, I'm on the other side of the TV. And the like thought that comes into my head, true story, like I should just be like, oh my God, I can't believe this honor. But all I could think was, I hope every single one of my fucking ex-boyfriends is watching.
Yeah!
Every single one of my ex-boyfriends is watching.
Get that ass,
every
dude.
Every single one.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that
so
ass.
You're in LA. You got a husband. You have a baby.
I have a baby.
How old's your baby?
My baby is like, I'm going to say 13 months. I always hate when parents do that thing where it's like, he's 27,000 months, 400 days, and 1 minute old. I don't know. He's about a year old.
Aww.
I promise. Yeah, he's dope. He's like a nice, he's a little dude. He like waddles around.
So you have your other baby, which is your book. This is your first book.
This is my first book. Yeah.
That's amazing. What's the title again?
The title is You'll Grow Out of It.
Where does that come from?
The title?
Yeah.
It comes out of a list of other titles that weren't good. And that was the one where we were like, is this not awful? And I was like, good enough. And they were like, the deadline's today. I'm like, okay, that's the title. I don't know. The book is sort of about memoirish personal essays, observations, but the focus is kind of trying to become a lady person and finding that to be like a real struggle between, you know, like the spanks and the bleeding and the men and the, you know,
Is there anything not in the book that you want to tell all of us right now so we can live our best lives?
Oh, gosh. Living your best life that's not in the book. I mean, I think, I feel like one really good piece of advice that I will say that I did not know in my 20s, and I'm now 40.
Wait, what?
What? Yeah, you look, oh, come now.
Like, you know, you look
everyone.
Great.
Everyone.
Yeah, you look
you're
amazing.
Like the Angela Bassett of white ladies.
Oh!
That's so true.
Literally the best. If that could have been the blurb on my book. I am calling the publisher. I'm like, stop the presses. New blurb. Angela Bassett. Damn. I have to say, and this applies, I think, to many aspects of life. Men, drinking, lots of things. Quit while you're ahead.
Ooh. All three of them?
Just like very much... I feel like much of my 20s and 30s, I was quitting when I was quite behind. Mm. It's so much nicer to quit while you're ahead.
Yeah.
You know, just like when you're like on a date with a guy, like drinking, definitely quit while you're ahead. if you're on a date with a guy, it's going super well. Like before the no condom sex, just like leave, like let it linger. Like all of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I like that advice.
I love that.
Yeah. That's just, so you know, good. Take it home. Let it marinate. Think about it. Stew in it. Let it wash over you.
All right. Well,
yeah, this was great.
Go. This was amazing. Nice.
Yeah. Guys, I'm happy to have been your white lady book club energy of the night.
It's so good.
Hashtag I'm with her. I'm with her. I'm with her. Thank you, guys.
Give it up for Jessie Clay.
Can't wait to read your book.
Keep it going for Jessie Klein, everybody!
You just heard Jessie Klein, John Stewart, and Eric Andre.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, and Rachel Moore.
Our team includes Joe Plord, Dara Hirsch, Jeremy Bloom, Isaac Jones, Ed Haber, and Shanoa Estrada. Hey, babies! Exciting announcement! Jess and I are coming to Boston! That's right! On January 27th, 2017, we're going to be doing a live show at the Wilbur Theater. We're so excited to take our baby on the road, and because you're all super fans of the show, you can buy tickets now as part of our pre-sale. The code is BOSTON, and you can use that code until this Friday when tickets are open to the public. Once again, the code is BOSTON. It's going to be amazing. We're going to hang out. We're going to go to the Cheers bar. We're going to, like, fucking get lit. Get them tics.
And subscribe to our podcast. Reviews are great, too.
Yeah, it really helps. Thanks.
We'll be back with a new show real soon.
YQY.
Stop it. Please do not carry that into season two.
Yes, gaga.
Oh, no, gaga. Mmm, and a burp.
You're absurd.
Wow, sorry. What's up?
Hey, beautiful.
Hey, Mom. Hey. Hello.
Me in the car, and we're trying to prepare for the permits test, the driving test. Which one did you tell me was easier? Is San Pedro?
Yeah, Mom, but I gotta go. I'm recording Two Dope Queens.
Okay, first, I want to say, I love you, Phoebe.
I love you, too.
Hi, everybody on Two Dope Queens. Love you guys.
You don't know them. We have to go, Mom. Oh, so embarrassing. Okay, Mom, I gotta go.
That was so cute.
Bye, Mom.